This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 10th, episode 995, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, do you need me to play it?
Is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done, the downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here this morning. We really appreciate it. And Jamie, are you waterlogged? Are you washed away? Did they find you in another state, maybe Mexico?
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, this is – it's crazy. It's Monday, there was actually a public service, like, warning. Please, if you don't have to leave your homes, don't leave your homes. Like, that sounds like something out of a war movie, not It Rained, you know, a lot. So crazy. It was really bad. Yeah. I mean, my arena is still a swimming pool. My whole arena, like, there's no way you can ride in it. And at this point, Glenn, do you know how many horses are on my property right now? Zero. Because my stalls flood.
They all washed away?
They flood all the horses. Well, I'll get to that in a second. They tried to leave. But no, my whole place flooded. So there's somebody that lives a little higher than me that has a pasture. So three horses are out in that one. My neighbor has six stall barn with just three horses. So my other three horses are over in their dry barn. So this is great. I don't have any stalls to clean. It's fantastic. Except for they're flooded.
I know. I'm sure other parts of the people in other parts of the country are going, they get mighty carried away in a little rain.
It's the desert. Like, the ground is not prepared to absorb 6 inches of water in 45 minutes. And that's the way that the rain here happens. It's like, you want it? We'll give it to you all at once. An entire year's worth of rain in the next half hour. Go. It's crazy.
I saw some of the pictures you guys made to national news, and there was some serious flooding there in Phoenix, and you weren't the only ones. California and into Nevada, I mean, all the desert spots had rain.
Yeah, it really did. And do you want to know, this is the perfect sounder for what happened on my property the other day.
There are some horses even God can't help.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to know about it now, or you want to know about it later?
Well, let's find out what's coming up on the show from Jennifer, and then we'll come back to it.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Wednesday edition, yes, you're listening to the right day of the week, it is Omega Alpha Equine Wednesday, Glenn has a panic attack at the thought of not having Facebook
my
during the show.
My computer would start, and it's my main computer, and I'm a geek. Without a computer, I'm not a geek. I'm not anything. I was lost. I said to Jamie
so
and Jennifer, I said, if I can't get my computer to start, you have to do the show without me. I'm not going
to
be
change
here.
That
I just
so
can't do
to,
it.
Glenn loses his identity. Jamie purchases water rings for freaking Frank. The velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, stops by with the European Report. And racing into the finish, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. This is going to be an interesting show, folks. Very interesting.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Frank gets her wings.
My daily Winnie goes out to, and I can't find it right now, so I'm just going to say happy birthday to Karen Chatton, who was, of course, our host yesterday on the Endurance Show. It is her birthday today, so happy birthday. This is the second birthday since she started. Thank you, whoever.
You're welcome.
It's not working so well. So, yeah, so happy birthday to Karen. This is her second birthday. I'm wishing her as a host of the show. She's been here over a year now.
Yay! That's great.
So that's good. And it's your turn, huh? Let me see if I can find it again. All right. We're just challenged today, everybody. Here it is.
You are challenged. Don't throw Jen and I into that mix. Well, I'll just give my daily whinny to all of my horses who decided that in the flood they needed to leave. So I have the neighbors hadn't allowed me to use their stalls yet, so I had to take all six of my horses to the pasture that is, it's my extra pasture. You know how you guys make fun of me for keeping horses all over the place and using neighbors' fields? Well, I took all my horses to my neighbor's fields. They're a little higher. Theirs wasn't flooded. So I take all six there. Well, I have to bring them in at night because the mosquitoes are still bad this time of year with all the rain. It's heavy. So I go to lead them home, and I decide I'm going to take three at a time. All my horses are really, really, really well trained. They're all really sweet. But I put six halters on all of them in the field, and I go to, bring one out of the gate. So I put six halters on six lead ropes, and they're all standing in there. Then I open the gate, and I start to bring one, two, three. And this little butthead, Chili Pepper, who's my, super uber kids lesson horse, bolts through the fence. He has had it with the mosquitoes, and he runs out of the fence. Well, no big deal. He's, old and crotchety, and, he just kind of wanders over to the neighbor's place. So I'm like, there's tons of grass there. So I'm like, you guys stay here and eat some grass. I'll be right back. And so I go to get Chili, who's down greeting one of the neighbor horses, and he sees me, and I'm not kidding you, that horse turns around and shoots me the bird and takes off running, kicks in my general direction, and leaves at a dead gallop. This is a horse children cannot get to trot. And he gets away, fucking kicking, yeehaw, lead rope flapping in the wind, okay? He heads out to the road. At this
I'm free.
Well, then all the other horses are like, oh, my God, something's wrong. We need to run, too. So at this point, all five horses decide they need to follow Chili. So they take off galloping, running, head to the main road. Two of them make the right turn. Edward and Duke go into my property. So they actually run into the gate. The other ones pass it up, go right to the main road, and head east. east. And they are at a dead gallop, hooves clopping on the pavement, running down the street. Mind you, everything's flooded. There's water on every side. So I am trying to chase horses in my big muck boots, which is not very working very well because I'm wearing giant, big, clunky muck boots and I'm running after horses. And I'm totally that guy. Well, thank God I live in an equestrian neighborhood, or at least an agricultural neighborhood, because somebody hears the hoofbeats going down the driveway or the main road, runs outside, and two of my horses, Jet and Joey, run over to his house and start grazing in his front pasture, in his front yard, which is nice for my horses to turf up his front yard in a rainstorm. So those two are caught. Chili is still, he's gone. He's run away. The pony is gone. Everybody else is accounted for. So Chili and the pony, they leave, and they're going down the main road. There's cars coming. I mean, this is bad. I am freaking out, and I'm out. And then all of a sudden, they realize, oh, crap, we're on a road. And so then they turn around, and start booking it for home, clopping down the main road again while my neighbor is leading two horses. Edward and Duke are in my house galloping around in my front yard because the gate's closed and they see their horses are running everywhere. There's horses everywhere. There's hoofbeats. There's mud flying. There's water splashing. It was a total nightmare. You know that feeling when your horse is like, you see an animal running towards the road, be it a dog, cat, squirrel, groundhog, whatever it is, it's just panic. But imagine it's your horse. Or imagine it's your boarder's horses. That was probably the worst part. I was like, okay, please, no, no, those aren't mine. Hit, have a car hit my horse. Like, I don't want it to hit the kid's pony. Like, that would be the worst. So, somehow, eventually, all the horses were wrangled, brought back into my property. I put them all in the muddy stalls, and I'm like, stay. Chad comes out of the house, and he's like, how's it going? I'm like, what? I'm like, didn't you hear the horses running around on the road? He's like, was that horses on the road? Like, he missed the whole freaking thing. He wasn't even there.
Did we learn anything from this, Jamie? Did we learn anything?
What am I supposed to learn from this, Glenn? I had halters on all of them.
Maybe limit it to 2 or 3 horses instead of 6. That might be the lesson of the day.
Yeah, that's when I called my neighbor. I'm like, can I please bring some horses to your house? I can't do this to myself again. So 3 horses over there, 3 horses over here. It was a nightmare. And the culprit of the whole thing was then taken out and put on a lunge line and worked because he's had the whole summer off from children. He needs a job. So, yes, there you go. That's my exciting adventure in the rain.
Yeah, no video, huh? Because that would have been good for about 3 million.
Oh, my God. If I would have had video, yeah, you're right. We would have made all sorts of money. But at the time, I was not thinking, get out. Unlike the teens of today who see something happening and know immediately to videotape it, I was not in the videotape mode. I was running around with muck boots on, probably in a, you know, tank top and pajama shorts, you know, trying to chase horses. So
I can just picture this whole scene, though. I mean, it's not funny, but in retrospect now it's funny because nobody was hurt.
Hey, they all made it. They made it home safe. I can tell you about it now. You know, I probably wouldn't have mentioned it if I'd had a horse get hit by a car. But thank God my neighbor came out and he was like, and I'd never even met this neighbor. I'm like, hey, I'm Jamie. Thanks for grabbing my horses.
As soon as you said, oh, I thought I'd bring all 6 at one time, I knew, yeah.
I wasn't. I didn't mean for all the other ones to bust out. Jerk.
Yeah, fun when the rain happens. See, now you can be grateful all 364 other days of the year when you get none. You can just appreciate those nice 120-degree sunny days.
Oh, I so appreciate it. Bring him back. I'm ready. Ready for a good old drought again.
Hey, a couple things here. Maybe we get the show started. Is the Mosses have been posting, I know you've noticed, have been posting some beautiful pictures. They've been, of course, they're the owners of Zenyatta, and they've been hosting on Zenyatta's Facebook page some beautiful pictures. They apparently went for a visit.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine just being like, oh, I'm going to go do a photo shoot with Zenyatta out in the field at sunset? Like, what? It was so, these pictures were gorgeous. If you go to Zenyatta's Facebook page or Zenyatta.com, you'll see the photo shoot with Ann Moss standing there with Zenyatta while she's grazing. And she's kissing her nose. She's petting my horse. And that horse should be mine. She should be mine. I love her that much. So it was great. I do have a question for our listeners. And I have done everything that I can in this adventure that I'm trying to do. So I was at Santa Anita, and I saw a horse that, you know how, Jennifer, you can get in on this, because you know how you see a racehorse, and you're like, oh, my God, I love him. I think I want him after he's done racing. And you can go on that website, which we've talked about, and you can put down that you want to take care of him, provide aftercare for him once he's done racing. I am in love with this horse. This horse's name is Utopian, okay? And it's hard to Google because Utopian is a pretty common word. So his name is Utopian, and I found out that he belongs to the Mosses. Is where the story's going.
Oh.
I need to get in touch with the Mosses. I even emailed Charles from Lane's End. I'm like, hey, next time that the chick's out there visiting Zenyatta, you need to let her know that your friend, me, because obviously Charles and I are really good friends, needs Utopian. And I never heard back, shocker, he never wrote me back about this. I'm like, but I love him. and so I don't know what else to do. Is there a way? Should I just call them? Like, what's the?
Did you put your name on that list? Did you put your name on that
list?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what? I put my name on the list for Zenyatta too, and they didn't call. So maybe they're not saying it.
So has Utopian, is Utopian doing well or really badly?
No, really badly. Like, really bad. I mean, he's just a terrible racehorse, but my God, he's got this beautiful dressage trot that I think...
So where did you come across Utopian? I need a backstory here. How did you find Utopian?
I was at Santa Anita, and Chad and I were down standing by the paddock. It was when we went to Santa Anita, like, in the spring. And we were standing down by the paddock, and he's black, and he's, you know, I love black horses. And he's black, and he, you know, they put the lip chain over him or the nose chain over him, and so he's, like, arching his head, like he looks like he's on the bit. And, of course, that made me put a lot of money on him, and he, like, came in dead last. So he hasn't actually raced since that race. And then he just has recorded some work, so they're bringing him back. I stalk this horse, okay? I have no stalls available, but I will make room.
Just put him on around the neighborhood. Your neighbor will keep an eye on him.
Yeah, exactly. I got neighbors with farms. I'll bring him over there. No, so that is where I found this horse. Does that answer your question?
That answers the question, yes.
Yeah. He's so been ridden by Mike Smith, your favorite jockey.
Oh, I can't buy him now.
That's why he's doing well poorly.
See, I'm glad you're finally catching on to this, Jennifer. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, the monsters, they love him. So I'm not going to argue with them about who they put on their horses. But I think it needs to be me on the horse. So if anybody has any suggestions of what else I can do, I mean, I've gone to that website. I've put him in my virtual stable on all these different things. So anyway, we'll see.
I have an idea.
Really?
What? It's probably a good one, maybe. So can you get an airline ticket for September 19th to Lexington? Because they're having the 7th Annual Bourbon County Secretariat Festival in Paris, Kentucky. You know, we talk about this every year. You do tours of the different farms and all of that. And I know Dean and Patty Reeves are gone because Mucho Macho Man's going to be on display at Adena Springs. And I'm kind of wondering if the Mosses might not be attending. And then you could talk to Dean and Patty Reeves, and you could get them to introduce you to the Mosses.
That's a bit of a stretch. because, you know, Zenyatta's at Lane's End, not Adena Springs.
Yeah, but the Mosses might come for the party. All rich people like to party.
Let's see. I'm going to price plane tickets and see. Yeah, that's a great idea. That's actually a really cool cool thing that they have going on there. I know we talked about it last year, but it's the 7th Annual Bourbon County Secretariat Festival in Paris, which is just outside of Lexington. I used to live in Paris on this farm. It was a very small town then. I'm sure it's a very small town now. But the Secretariat Festival is bigger than it was last time. I remember we got to interview Penny Chen.
Wait a minute. You lived at Adena Springs?
No, I lived in Paris.
Oh.
When I lived in Paris,
Kentucky. I
didn't
know if you had a stall there or what the story was.
That's pretty much where I lived was, and my house was not as nice as a stall at Adena Springs. Okay. So yeah, it's a good time. You know, those go back to the days of your youth when you go, wow, I was really poor and stupid. Anyway, so the Bourbon County Festival that's going on there, Secretariat Festival, they're actually going to be doing tours of Adena Springs. You get to meet Mucho Macho Man. How cool is that? And Dean and Patty Reeves are going to be there, like you said. So that would be really, really cool.
This is one time. I mean, these are the times when I do miss living in Lexington. You know, when in the middle of winter, when there's an ice storm, I don't so much. But these are the times when I do miss living in Lexington because there were so many cool things like that to do.
Absolutely.
Yep, and of course, Penny Chenery will be there. Ron Turcotte. Is there a time Ron Turcotte does not take advantage of signing autographs, by the way?
I love him. How cool is that? I mean, you know, the guy's in a wheelchair.
At least he's out and about. Yep.
Yeah, he gets out more than any of us do, and he's, you know, wheelchair bound and you know, he's a hero in everybody's eyes. So he's a great guy and good for him. And he still really is a – that's how much that horse affected his life, that he will spend the rest of his life promoting that horse and the Chenerys, and he's very good friends with them. And I just think it's awesome.
Well, the other jockeys, there's going to be a whole bunch of other jockeys there. The one who rode Seattle Slew, Affirm, Pat Day, Chris McCarron. So there's just going to be a whole bunch of people there, and they always have an auction, and they do barbecue, and of course bourbon, lots of bourbon. So
I want to
go. And you know, they just make it fun, and we've never been. We got to get there one of these days.
Oh my gosh! Well, drive. Get in the car. You can drive
one of
there.
These days.
That'd be awesome.
30 shops are going to be there. Like, I have shopping this year. I was just reading about it. So. Anyway, that's coming up. You can find more about that looking up the Secretariat Festival. Just Google it, and you'll find the information for that. Secretariat.com is the website, so that's the main website there.
Hey, speaking of Kentucky, the Keeneland sales are going on right now.
I know. I saw some ones. We're seeing some big bucks horses go this time.
Well, you know, it's like day one, and the big money's always there. And a half-brother to Oxbow, an Unbridled Song colt, Mandy Pope, bought it for $1.6
million.
$1.6 million.
For colt.
For a colt. A filly by Bernardini for $1.2 million at the sales. Now, can you imagine, okay, a filly by Bernardini, they don't even say who the mare is. I just read the, like, title. Can you imagine how much a colt by Bernardini and Zenyatta would go for? If they sold that horse, it would be $10 million, right?
Right, exactly.
A filly by Curlin.
Yeah, there you go.
Philly by Curlin sold for $1.1 million, and imagine Curlin, and I think that horse is iconic, the Zenyatta one. And then a colt by Tappet sold for $900,000. They're all so pretty. Oh, my gosh, the Tappet one with the gray horse. Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So the money is there at Keeneland right now.
Yes, it definitely is, and it's just going to cap off what's been a pretty good year for racing. No question about it.
You know what? I think that if I was single and I was young again and I lived in Kentucky, which I did, I don't know why I didn't think of this then. If I was looking for a man, I'm going to go to Keeneland.
Get all
dolled up and go to the Keeneland sales and find me a husband. Girls. Get on.
Say yesterday, Tuesday's session brought in $37.7 million for 121 yearlings, with an average price of $312,000. Two-day sales are expected to be over $71 million.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
you know who's making out of that? You need to go work for you need to go date somebody at the auction company who's taking down 10% of every one of those sale.
Do they? They don't get 10%, do they?
5 to 10% usually.
Oh my
gosh. That's what they do. And you know those car auctions? You have a big one out there near you when they have the collector car auctions. Jennifer, what company's that? Remember now.
Barrett Jackson.
When they have their collector car auctions, they charge the seller and you pay a premium as the buyer of 10 to 15%.
Good
so
God.
They get it from both ends. Buyer and
just
seller.
Put it on Craigslist. They don't charge anything.
Hey, one other good thing out of the weekend over at the World Equestrian Games is BZ Madden's Cortez, the horse that she rode over there to her her bronze medal finish, has now been named as the top world's best show jumper. I don't know who names that. I don't know who comes out with the list. That wasn't in the article, but I know that I've seen the list before. But it's currently one of the American horses to be on it in a long, long time. And it was partly because when they do the final four, at the WEG, they all have to switch off horses and ride everybody else's horses around a course.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Her
crazy.
Horse was the only one to go clean with all four. So she, you know, Cortez is now top of the world.
Well, he should be. And he should have got a special prize for being the one that went clean. Despite
probably,
all the riders.
Right, carrot, an extra couple carrots probably is what Cortez is going to get. I don't think there was a cash prize for that. Yeah. Hey, real quick, I got to go over these with you because it's a lot of fun. You were just talking about having your job in Lexington, you know, and when you were very, very poor and you were out there riding racehorses every morning trying to break every bone in your body.
Uh-huh.
Remember those things? Yeah. And then you worked for 10 years in radio, putting up with some very interesting and hard to work with at times radio personalities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You remember that?
I do.
How good you have it now, by the way.
I know, right? I won the lottery. I've paid
you
off.
You did, except for the pay part. That's the part we haven't figured out yet. But Mashable
maybe
did a
thing. Actually need the lottery. Sorry.
That's right. Yes, if you continue to play the lottery, then someday your dreams will come true. Six unusual dream jobs you can actually get paid for, and this was on Mashable yesterday, and you're going to love this. And I want to see how many of these would you do, okay? These are very unusual dream jobs, but which one would you pick as one you would do? All right, you ready?
Okay. Ready.
First one is panda caretaker. Right now, the giant panda production and research center in Shuangguan province in China is now accepting applications for panda caretakers. Along with the annual salary of $32,000, the job comes with free meals, transit, and accommodations. And one of your jobs as a panda caretaker is hugging the pandas. That's one of your official jobs.
Oh, that sounds good.
You would sign up for a panda caretaker, hug pandas all day?
Let's see what else there is. That's pretty top of the list right there.
Yeah, I don't know that there is. How about water slide tester?
oh, wow.
That's you.
Yes. The job came with a salary of $30,000, paid expenses, and a seven-day vacation for two at any of the resorts that this operation has. It's the First Choice Holiday Resorts, and they actually have a guy who travels around to all of the resorts going down the water slides and making sure they're safe. And that they're exciting and, you know, all of those things. He has to rate them. He has, like, fill out a little form. So you make $30,000 a year going to warm places, going on water slides. That's a tough thing. Living in the nice hotel. That's a
but then job. You're the guy, like, that has to be, the seams of the water slide, like, cut his back, you know? Like,
yes,
I hate,
yes.
I'm not a big water slide fan, so.
All right, well, that one will cross off. Okay,
off.
Well, also. Back to China. Chinese companies have been known to hire Westerners to pose as executives because it makes the company look well-connected and global. So basically you get paid to dress up in a three-piece suit and go on photo shoots and attend meetings and everything, but you don't actually do anything. They don't want you to do anything.
That sounds like our government.
I could do that job. This is one I qualify for. I
can
look good all dressed up. I look good in a suit. I could do this. I could sit there and look important. I've been doing that all my life.
You could wear your cowboy hat and tell people you have Texas oil money.
That's it. That's right. That's what I can do. That's a good idea. I'll sign up for that one. I don't know about living in China, though. That was here, a couple more. How about luxury bed tester? You could be a luxury bed tester. You can get paid $1,600 a summer by this company, Simone Horn Limited, and her job, this one lady that was hired for this, she was a college student, she was hired to sleep on their beds all summer long, all the different mattresses and stuff, and then rate them. So
I can do that.
Her job was sleeping, basically. This was her job.
I can do that.
Here's one that looks like a lot of work. How about a Google tricycle mapper? You know, have you seen the Google cars, you know, that go around taking all the pictures for the mapping program that Google has? You know,
well,
they take all the pictures.
I've never seen one, but I do, I know that they exist.
Yeah, they have a little thing that stick out the top and have cameras everywhere. Well, you know now they're starting to do beaches and malls and all that kind of stuff. They're mapping everything and taking pictures of everything. They're doing the insides of malls, and they'll go down the beach and they'll take pictures. You can see any beach now, pretty much in the United States anyway, that you want to, right on the beach with their program.
Wow.
Well, the guy who does that is riding a bike. So it's a Google tricycle. It's a big tricycle bike, and it has 250 pounds of equipment on the back, including a generator and the cameras and all that stuff. So they're only hiring athletes, they said, to do that because it's pretty tough to pedal around 250 pounds of stuff everywhere. But that's an actual job, and apparently pays pretty well for Google. And, of course, everybody works at Google likes it there. So now I have my job. And now it would kill me with my disease and all, but it might be worth it. I might go out very, very happy. This is the last one, and I bet you know, Victoria, when she's come on, she would sign up for this one too. It's the official, and by the way, this pays $60,000 a year, entry level, okay, to start.
Okay.
It's the Godiva Chocolate Inspector and Taster.
Is that like a wine taster where you sip it and you have to spit it out, or do you just chomp it and go for it?
I think it depends on what time of day it is. Probably early in the day you might be swallowing, and later in the day you might be spitting. I don't know, but yeah, $60,000 a year to taste chocolate and make sure they look pretty. I could do that.
Oh my gosh, I could do that.
That'd be good. Chocolate taster and fake executive doing nothing. I could do those two.
I'm the panda hugger. Jennifer, what are
you're
you?
You're in with the pandas. Jennifer?
I
totally... What do you say?
Water slide tester.
No, I know which one
totally.
She is. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Totally. Water slide
which
tester.
Which one are you?
Absolutely.
No, you're the bed tester. You sleep very well. I think she would do very good job.
See, that's
of the bed
the thing,
tester.
No, I can sleep on anything, so I wouldn't be very good
that's
at
true.
It.
That's true.
I enjoy it.
Approved. All right, that was fun anyway. Let's take a break for our commercial. We're coming back with Victoria Spicer, who hasn't been on in a couple of weeks because she's been out playing. She's been goofing off all the way around England there. And, of course, because I'm having issues this morning, I can't find the commercial. Let's go to Victoria first, and then we'll do the commercial. So
okay.
Wait a minute. I do have this. I can't find this. There. I found something.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. At last, I've made it back.
You sound like you've got a horsey hangover right now.
I do indeed. It's a combining of that thing when you spend 2 weeks at a competition and working every day. And also we got Weg flu. Jenny, our presenter, and I both ended up ill, so we're still not better. We're feeling sorry
Aww.
For it.
Yeah, I feel real sorry for you spending 2 weeks at the WEG. Poor thing. Terrible.
Yeah, it was very cool. Some very cool competition, but a few logistical issues. I'm not sure if you've heard much about that over there, but yeah. It's
Yeah. So did you get any food the whole time, or were you just sloshing around in the mud?
So the first week, there was absolutely no food and drink, and which is fine, you know, journalists get used to it, you know, being supplied. And when we
they don't need bed. We don't need to feed journalists.
But, you know, and they said, oh, there's a restaurant for the press, but unfortunately it was also open to the public, and the stadium seated 20,000 people, and there was a massive lack of food and drink outlets. And if you think of 20,000 people... who are all there hungry with money to spend, and they missed a massive trick because all the food and drink outlets were a 10-minute bus ride away in the other village where the reigning and vaulting were, which certainly didn't have 20,000 stadiums. So that was the issue. So no food for the journalists in week one. We had to go off on a mission to get some. And then by week two, there was so much food I ate so much bread. I think I put on about 6 stone. And yeah, we couldn't get away from it. So I think they changed things a bit by the second week. So if it's gone for 3 weeks, the third week would have been amazing, I'm sure.
Now, how exactly, what was your day like?
My day at WAG would be waking up in my glamorous one-star hotel, which was a media hotel.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And we actually, Horse and Country, booked two rooms, but we had a Swedish presenter who came as well for the first few days. So myself and Jenny Rudo were sharing a room that is pretty much the size of a cupboard, so no wonder we both have the same cold. And so we get up and we get the media bus, which took an hour, and even though the hotel was only about 15 minutes away from the venues, so we get the media bus and then we set up camp, and we were usually doing about 14-hour days of just non-stop writing, videoing, getting the videos up, posting them on social media, starting again. So it was a very, very busy couple of weeks, but by the end of it, we were in a routine and could do it all pretty quickly.
Now, I heard that there wasn't great internet connection.
It varied. I actually was all right, but I think the people up at the eventing really did struggle. We were only at the eventing for cross-country day, and then we were there for the show jumping, but that was back in the main stadium. So I didn't think it was too bad, but I think the people that were trying to cover the dressage of the eventing did struggle.
So on a scale of like 1 to 10, how would you rate these games?
Well, it was my first game, so I didn't get to go to Kentucky. And I heard that Kentucky was, you know, an absolute perfection event. And then a few people at this World Championship said, no, there was kind of teething problems there as well. And obviously, I don't know because I wasn't there. But it does seem like it's quite an undertaking to do the World Championships. And
well, I can tell you this, Victoria. We're the United States. We didn't run out of food. We do know how to feed people. That's one thing we do well here. It may not be good for you, but there's a lot of it.
I've seen a lot of calls for people to have the World Equestrian Games in Kentucky or Aachen, and that's the only two venues they should use and just alternate them every 4 years. So you must have got something right. But, I mean, in terms of the sport, I would say it's like 9 out of 10, but in terms of the logistics, yeah, not so great.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. So I know you are an eventer. You like to compete in eventing. What was your favorite sport to watch? Was it the eventing, or did you learn a lot about vaulting? I mean, did you learn anything new?
Well, I love vaulting because the world champion is a Scottish girl, so it makes me very proud. So if Scotland vote for independence, at least we'll be able to win gold medals in vaulting, if nothing else. I love watching the vaulting. It's so bizarre when you kind of watch that sport and then you watch, say, Grand Prix dressage.
Okay, I think we're losing Victoria. Is she breaking up for you?
No, she sounds good to me.
Okay.
Can you hear me? That is the question.
Yes.
So I have to say, though, that even though eventing cross country day was a bit of a quagmire, there was mud everywhere, I fell over walking out of the press office, so I looked really stupid and have got a nice bruise on my arm to show for it a week later. I have to say that our eventing mojo was, it was kind of on the top on cross-country day and until the kind of sad ending to the day when one of the British horses died. But we have to say, I think the eventing was the best competition.
Oh, wow. Yeah, gosh, sad story, but what an absolutely amazing thing to watch those horses work so hard and those riders work so hard. It was a really cool thing. Now, so Horse and Country TV covered, obviously, the complete ins and outs of the World Equestrian Games. Now, I know that something else is going on over there. We've got Burley.
Yes, indeed. The other famous four-star, apart from badminton. So that just reached its conclusion on Sunday. And so while Jenny and I were in France, we also had Charlotte and Amy over in Burley doing all of the reporting. And it turned out to be another win for Mr. Andrew Nicholson. That man is unstoppable.
The Silver Fox. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on Monday, but I had a question for you.
Okay.
Because they're saying that, Andrew Nicholson won the last 3 years. He's won 3 years in a row. But technically, he didn't win last year. Jock Padgett won last year, but then he lost it because of the drug test. So is that what made Andrew Nicholson win, and they say 3 years in a row?
Yes, that's correct. I think they just like to kind of brush over that fact a little bit. So we Jock, it was a bit like that at badminton. You know, Jock hardly got mentioned because he was suspended at the time, and as the reigning winner, you'd normally be all over the program and the website and on TV, and he just didn't have a presence at all. Yeah, barely. That is the fact that Nicholson is now listed as the winner because Jock Padgett lost his title. But he did come very close to winning it back. He came second, and I think there's Nicholson had a couple of fences in hand, and in the end he didn't need them. He's so ridiculously good. But it could have it got close. Jock Padgett was up there.
So now what was the mood? Were people pulling for him, kind of like a redemption thing, or were they pulling for the Silver Fox because he's the Silver Fox?
I think they were. I think Andrew Nicholson has got a big following, and he's just such a legend of the sport and just keep winning the way he does, and he's in his 50s now, and he's just really is quite amazing. And I think people are there's been a lot of goodwill towards Jock, and I think everyone was glad to see him up at his best. And he returned to 4-star at Wegg and didn't do very well. He kind of had a run out at fence 4 or something on the cross country, which is why the horse was able to go straight from there to Burley, because he'd actually only done a dressage test and a couple of jumps, so he was perfectly capable and obviously none the worse for his travels to go there and then come second.
That's awesome. Well, I didn't even realize that was the same deal. You're right. So he stopped at fence 4. So he's like, refusal, we're moving on to Burley. So that was a good idea.
He already had an entry in, and he would have been basing it on depending on how well the Kiwis were doing. But considering how great the team was, you know, you've got Mark Todd, Andrew Nicholson, Jock Padgett, and Tim Price, who's doing really well at badminton, and considering what a team they had, they didn't do very well at Wegg, and they got eliminated by the time the first two riders had gone. That was them eliminated. So Jock knew
wow.
that if he couldn't get an individual honours, then there was no point continuing. And the minute he had that run out, he had no choice. So that was it. Re-refused to Burley.
It's quick thinking.
Indeed.
So, you know, if you would have to pick your favorite thing over the last couple of weeks, including the Wegg, you know, what would have been?
All I got to do was see Wegg. So I'd have to say... watching Charlotte Desjardins win her double gold medal was really special and really cool. I'm sad I didn't get to stay for the individual jumping final when they swapped horses, so I wanted to see that in the flesh, but I had to come back and work it instead. So I didn't get to see it, but I think that ended up being a really special competition.
Jennifer and I watched that. It was a lot of fun to watch, and watching them switch horses, I think it's a great idea, and it really does add some excitement for the fans. I know there's some riders who think it's a dumb idea, but I think for the fans and for the spectators, it's a terrific idea.
It is. It's exciting for the sport, and my issue with it is I don't quite understand why they swap saddles, because I can't see how that makes it comfortable for the horse. And also, I wrote a little piece about it that you can find on our website about why it is quite controversial. And the fact is, if you've got the best horse, it makes you much less likely to win the gold medal. And sure enough, Cortez C, Beasley Madden's horse, jumped 4 clear rounds. He is by far and away the best horse of the day. And yet she only just got a bronze medal. And only just, I think she had no fence in hand at all. It is a bit of a shame that it's normally judged on horse and rider, and suddenly it's judged on rider alone, and the best horse actually means that the rider gets punished.
But didn't seem quite fair. Yeah, I'm like, what did he get? Glenn's like, you got a carrot.
that's what he got. I have to ask you this. You brought it up a little bit earlier, and we don't talk politics much here on the show, but you are from Scotland, and... right now, we've been seeing just a little bit of news over here about a recent poll that came out in Scotland about voting for Scottish independence away from the UK. How do you feel about it? And if it does happen, what exactly does it mean?
I'm not allowed to vote because I don't live in Scotland anymore. So I don't. It's quite funny because my friend just moved back to Edinburgh, and her Greek husband gets to vote in Scottish independence, and I don't. I don't want independence. Obviously, I live in England. I love being part of the UK. I'm very proud Scot, but I'm also proud Brit as well. And I think we are better together. It's been a remarkable campaign though, and it's got people galvanised. And the fact that people are now, looking like it's likely to happen is quite scary, but you've got to take your hats off to the people who are campaigning for it, because they've done a lot better than the people who are campaigning against it. And I just don't know what it means. I think it's just quite terrifying. I don't think they're going to have a currency, and they're going to have no consulates abroad. They've got to choose a few countries that they can have consulates, and just the logistics of doing it are just incredible. So basically,
you have to start a brand new government, right? I mean, it's just everything's brand new.
Well, Scotland has a devolved government, so they have their own parliament. But instead of getting more power from Westminster, they've asked for independence. So I would have preferred their devolution if that's what they wanted. But no, it looks like it's going to be the whole hog.
And let's be honest, Scotland's been trying to do this for 1,000 years. I mean, it's not new.
Oh, yes, they're always wanting in and out of the union. But, we will see. I know there's been a lot of comparisons to Canada and Quebec and things. So that's been talked about a lot in the news over here at the moment. And they've obviously not had independence, having put it to the vote a few times. But I genuinely am quite worried that Scotland is going to vote yes.
You'll be a divided woman.
I know. I'll be an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of logistical things to work out, I'm sure. You can have dual citizenship then.
I hope so. I hope they let me back into the country so I can see my family.
Okay. Seriously, listening to this has only made me think of the movie Braveheart.
Yes.
And how William Wallace, all he ever, it's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
Yeah. That
freedom!
That Australian has got a lot to answer for. I think they've been showing that film every 2 weeks on TV for the last.
I bet they have.
I've
often wondered if the Scottish people thought that movie was any good. Did you think that movie was any good?
It changed my life, I have to say. I watched it when I was 15 and just became fascinated by history and the Scottish history, and decided I wanted to study it. And so I went and switched all the exams that I'd agreed to take and to take up history, and I did it through the end of school. And if I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd have got the marks I got, and I wouldn't have gone to the university I went to and stuff. So I do have a lot to thank Braveheart for. Not
Mill. Wow. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Not what I was expecting.
I love you. Always have. I see. I just, all these quotes are going through my brain. I love you. Always have.
I was expecting her to come back with, oh, his accent sucked and this and that. And no, it changed my life. Wow. Now I have to watch it again. I have a new respect.
I haven't watched it for years because now I think I don't like Mel Gibson anymore. He's just had some terrible press in the last few years I've taken against him. But I don't think it'd be very good. I think it's
that was post-Scottish. You know, when he was Scottish, he was fine. When he was, I've got away from that.
I don't know why they keep giving these roles to Australians. I'm not sure what's he called? Russell Crowe. Is
Russell Crowe.
Either, and he's always getting to do play British people. He just can't do it.
Didn't think of that. You need some more Scottish actors to hit the big time.
We do. I think they just couldn't give Ewan McGregor every single role, though, so they had to find somebody else.
Well, now that we've done movie talk here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you joining us. Of course, it's horseandcountry.tv. Rest up. By the way, on some of the other shows here on the Horse Radio Network, they've been interviewing a lot of the riders. and competitors that have been over at WEG, and they all came back with the same cold. So you're not the only one. Everybody got it.
WEG flu, we've been calling it. So, yes, I do have
flu. All right. Thank you, Victoria.
Now, Victoria, remember, you bled with Wallace. Now bleed with me.
Right, I'm off to go and paint my face blue and white.
Everyone dies. Not everyone really lives.
Bye. Freedom.
Freedom. That's a sword.
Oh, hey, they ripped him apart.
Some of your best impressions. Those actually didn't suck.
Who knew that I could do a Scottish accent? I mean,
come on. It actually didn't sound like your usual Southern English accent. It was a little different. I was
surprised. Because I'm not doing Australia. Now, my Australia one is epic, okay, mate?
That's funny. All right, let's take a break for our song today. And we are going to hear from Templeton Thompson today. And we're gonna play a song called I Can Do This, and I'm dedicating it to the reason I'm playing this song is because of the American Horsewoman's Challenges coming up on October 3rd through the 5th at the Lazy E Arena outside Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And it is a challenge that spotlights and recognizes and crowns the top female trainers in the United States. 40 women are taking the six-month challenge to train a young horse and prove the trainer's skill and the horse's talents across a wide spectrum of working, pleasure, and equitation classes. The overall champion is crowned once per year at this annual festival and show, and many of our friends and regular guests that you hear on the Horse Radio Network are participating. It's going to be an exciting event with celebrities like Julie Goodnight, Linda Perelli, Craig Cameron are going to be there, and they're going to be helping MC and do all of that. It's a must-attend event for the fall because our friend Templeton Thompson is going to be there entertaining everybody as well. The premiere of the final event is planned for Oklahoma City, October 3rd through the 5th. Get your tickets now at horsewomanschallenge.com. That's horsewomanschallenge.com. And for all of those 40 competitors, many of those we know, we're going to play this song for you. It is from Templeton Thompson. And it's called I Can Do This, and it fits perfectly.
It's gonna be hard. I can get through this, 'cause I've got the scars to prove I have before. I've been through this war, and I have survived. It's gonna take time. I've learned to live with everything that life has handed me. With you.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with I Can Do This.
That's awesome. What a great song.
Isn't that a good song?
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, no, that we haven't played it in forever, and it's a terrific song. I thought it was perfect for the girls out there, the women out there training their horses and getting ready to go to the competition in less than 3 weeks. And, I saw a couple of them were having issues with their horses, and they were all panicking, and I was on Facebook following some of them. So they are going through some challenges right now with some of the horses.
And you're talking about the American Horsewoman's Challenge?
Yes, the American Horsewoman's Challenge. That's correct. Well, we have something very fun after we hear from Omega Alpha. We have something very fun coming up because, let's just explain it after, but it's a little bit of a different celebrity trivia challenge for you today from EquityMFG.com. A little different because, we'll explain in a minute.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship. Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
And, of course, this is the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge brought to you by our good friends at Equity. I was out using the Equity Manure Fork. I was using the Shaken Fork the other day. We had to keep the horses in, been having to keep them in with all the rain. And so that's given me more opportunity to go out and use the Shaken Fork. Ask Jennifer. I am a horse husband that does not argue about cleaning stalls, because I have the Equity Shaken Fork and Flexen Fork, and I use them every time I go out. And I actually kind of like cleaning the stalls because I get to use the shaky fork, and I love the shaky fork.
I took the shaky fork to Copper Meadows, and it was a huge hit. Everybody tried it.
Everybody wanted it. You know, I think that's the best advertising that Joseph could do, is actually just sending one of these to every event in the country and let everybody share it. Put a little tag on it where, you know how at the tack shop you rip off the little hangy thing if you want to call about a horse? Well, he needs to just put little hangy things on the fork so people can rip one off and go order it. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah. Exactly.
But these are the best manure forks out there, and you can find them all at EquityMFG.com, the Shaken Fork and the Flexen Fork. Make your choice today. All right. Well, I'm going to bring our celebrity up on the show today because, and I'm using that term loosely after what she did to me, but we have Auditor Robin Donaghy on with us today. Hey, Robin.
Good morning.
Now, for new listeners, we're going to have to explain exactly why you're a celebrity and why you're here and why you're not my favorite right now. So we're going to explain this for new listeners. I have this cute, adorable pony that I rescued a year and a half ago, and he's been doing great, and he looks wonderful. His name's P.T. Scooter. And apparently I talk about him too much, or, I just am bragging about my pony too much. And occasionally I'll call him My Little Pony. And
occasionally
mm-hmm. I'll call him My Little Pony, when I'm slipping up. And I do concentrate on that now. But Robin saw fit to get together with Jamie and in a conspiracy without my knowledge and came up with a theme song. And I'm sure Jamie has... My Little Pony. And there it is. So they came up with a little theme song.
Wait a second. Somebody cut it in half. You edited it to make it shorter. It was longer. It was two versions.
I did not do that. It was not me that did that.
You can talk
to the other person that knows how to edit. That was not me. But anyway, Robin learned how to edit just to do that. You must have looked through about 50 shows, listened to 50 shows to get the My Little Pony thing. Or did you have it pegged that day?
No, actually, you do say it more often than you think.
Oh, shut up, Robin. So what we're doing today is I am challenging you, Robin, and Robin doesn't even know this. I am challenging you today.
Oh, no.
And the winner of this is the prize, okay? Well, there is a real prize because you probably have a charity picked out, but this is the most important prize, is if I win, the My Little Pony sound file will never be played again on the show. If you win, I will never play this lovely
song. Lord of the Infield Best.
Third Saturday.
There's
a lot riding on this game, Robin. Now, here's
the deal. There sure is.
It hammers down, and this jerk won't even let me read the questions. He thinks I'm going to cheat for you.
I don't trust Jamie at all. There's only one person I trust in this situation. That's Jennifer, because she never lies about anything. So Jennifer's going to read the questions. I have not seen them.
Did Jennifer leave out the fact that she, on one of the days she filled in for you, actually asked me specifically to make such said file?
Oh, no, that has never come out. Okay, the couch is looking really good tonight, Jennifer. So there's something else riding on this, too, and that is I will agree to lift your banishment from the show so you can continue to be on the show.
Woohoo!
Maybe. Okay.
There is a lot riding on this.
That's right. But you have to win or you're just still banished and never going to co-host again.
No.
Robin, there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake. This is important. I need you to come through for me.
Now, Lord knows what Jennifer did with the questions. I can only imagine what they're going to be. So we'll find that out in a minute. But you do have a charity, right, that you're playing for because you are officially our celebrity today.
Yes, I do. It's Bronies Anonymous.
Bronies Anonymous, Glenn. Are you in Bronies Anonymous? And I say that because I've heard this.
My little pony. Remember when you're playing for Robin?
No, I do have a real charity.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say no prizes that are going to work for Bronies Anonymous.
It's the Blue Bonnet Equine Humane Society. It's a rescue that's been in existence since 2005, and they adopt horses through Texas and Arkansas. They also work with people that are near Texas in Oklahoma and Louisiana. And they have an event every year in October in Texas that it kind of a small training challenge that they have people, amateurs and professionals, take one of the foster horses or one of the rescues to foster, and they train them, and then they compete. And they get all the horses together, and they show what they've been able to accomplish in every year. And it's always something fun to go to. It's very educational. They have lots of clinicians come in, and it's a full-day event.
Well, that sounds terrific. I have found, and I've been watching this, and I found another one today that was doing a cool event. They're getting a lot more creative. The therapeutic riding organizations and the rescues are having to get a lot more creative in their fundraising. And I noticed that the therapeutic riding, the big one here in Ocala, is doing a what they're calling a Florida feast. And they're putting on one of those food shows to raise money, but they're doing it differently in that it's all exotic foods like alligator and frog's legs and all this weird stuff to try and make it different. So congratulations to all these groups who are really stepping out to try and find ways to raise money that is outside the horse world in many cases. So
Yeah.
Good job. Well, Jennifer, I think the prize we have planned for today will be perfect for them. They'll be able to use it.
Today's prize is a seriously heavy box of assorted products for horses valued at over $50 from Redmond Equine. Redmond Rock is the perfect way to satisfy your horse's instinct for natural salt and minerals. More than 60 minerals, just the way nature made them, with a taste your horse will love. In addition to Redmond Rock and Redmond Rock on a Rope, try Daily Red Granulated. That's the one Beaker gets because he wears a muzzle. Salt perfect for adding to the feed. Daily Gold for digestive health, and First Aid for Horses, a natural healing play for open wounds. And they are all mined right here in the good old U.S. of A.
Very good. That's valued at over $50 and another $50 just to ship the damn thing. It's so heavy.
It's true.
I you know, you get them in, Jamie, and you go to pick up the box. You can't lift it.
No, so just say
UPS
it's in media mail.
Kate Redmond.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. He rolls it off the truck. Hey, all right, well, let's play this game. There's a lot riding on this. Jamie, do you want to – I'll let you explain the rules. I'll let you do that.
Okay, well, here's how it's going to work is Jennifer's going to ask a question of you, Robin, and then we're going to move down and we're going to ask a question – or Jennifer is going to ask a question to Glenn. It's going to go back and forth until we get to the potentially – hopefully we won't have to because Robin's going to mop the floor with Glenn. But if we do need to get to the tiebreaker, I'll explain that when we get to it. Let's just focus on the game here. So are you ready?
Yes.
Glenn?
I'm ready, and I just wanted to clarify, you will ask Robin the hard questions and me the easy questions, or the couch is looking mighty comfy tonight. Just saying.
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn. I don't know what you're talking about. Jennifer's asking the questions. So, Jennifer, please.
Cheerleader. Robin has a cheerleader. I don't have a cheerleader. I should have found myself. I should have had Robert call in so he could cheerlead for me.
Glenn,
you,
are your own cheerleader.
I feel pissed.
Yeah. You know who's your cheerleader, Glenn?
My little pony. My little pony.
You have a little pony to cheer you on.
He does. He screams every time Glenn walks into the barn.
You should play that every time he gets one right.
That should be his ringtone.
Okay, and every time you get one right, I'm playing the other one. So there. All right, let's play.
All right, here
Who's
we go.
First?
Robin, you are up first. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. First question is true or false? The founding of the American Driving Society predates the founding of the United States Eventing Association, or the USETA, as it was once known. True or false?
False.
Jamie, that's your cue.
Oh, that's my cue. Hold on. I forgot I'm doing the sound, and let's see.
Sound.
I don't have
Any
the
sound.
Bell, Glenn. I don't do the bell, so I'm going to do this one here. No. There we go.
Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong?
It's right. You're right.
Okay.
That was the cheering. Glenn has the bell. You didn't give me the bell.
I don't know the answer. So I can't help you out of here.
That's your yes answer.
So now let's see how good a listener Robin is. And I know you listen to the driving radio show. What anniversary is this of the American Driving Society this year?
40.
What? Holy cow.
Good. She's good.
Extra points
she's
for
good.
Her.
That's why she's going to kick your butt. All right. Carry on.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the first question for Glenn.
Glenn, your first question, true or false?
God.
A Landau is a type of vis-a-vis. True or false?
Oh, see, Robin will know this one. I'm going to go with true.
I lost That's the question. Cue, yeah. Is that true or false? Is it right?
Here, we'll do this.
Is it true? There.
Okay, I found it. Oh, I found it. Day. Okay, I found the questions. I didn't even hey. That didn't even sound like English to me. A Landau is a vis-a-vis. What the hell is that? Is it driving?
Robin drives yeah. one, so she knows. You drive a version of that, don't you?
The vis-a-vis, Jamie, is the big fancy wedding carriages. Vis-a-vis is French for face-to-face. So
okay,
it's the ones
well,
that, where you sit and face each other.
Thank you, Cliff Clavin, for bringing out the knowledge. all right, I'm ready for the next one. I've got the sound effects ready. Robin, your question. Jennifer, go.
My job is harder than you think, isn't it?
I didn't even know what you guys were talking about, so I probably should start listening to the driving radio show so I can brush up. Okay, yeah.
Okay, round two, it's a tie. Robin,
woo-hoo.
This is multiple choice.
Can you down, girl?
Glenn, I'm going to put you on mute. No more trash talk. Yeah. Robin, the Myopia driving event holds the record for the longest-running CDE under the same management in the entire United States. What year was the first Myopia CDE held? Was it A, 1964, B, 1975, or C, 1986? No Googling.
The middle one. 70, whatever it was. I'm guessing.
Woo-hoo! Woo! That is correct. 1975 is the answer, and that was a fantastic crap guess. Good job, Robin.
Hey, that, of course it was a fantastic year. That was the year I was born.
There you go.
Well, there you go. It's karma.
Glenn was born in the 20s or something.
I'm
going to
come and get it here shortly. So. All right, I'm ready.
All right.
All right, Glenn, do you have your thinking cap on?
Oh, geez. Okay.
All right, here we go. Your second question, also multiple choice. Where was the first combined driving event held in the United States held? Was it in A, Wisconsin, B, Massachusetts, or C, New Jersey?
C, New Jersey.
Yay!
I went right to.
Oh, my God. Is it two to two?
Do you know who put on that first CDE, Glenn? This is bonus. Bragging rights. Come on.
Oh, you know, I did know. We talked about this in the past.
That was more than 10 interviews ago.
It was a very rich person.
Band-Aids?
Oh, yes. It was Johnson & Johnson. His name is Johnson. Johnson & Johnson, the guy from Johnson & Johnson, right?
Yep.
Thank you. The Band-Aids helped.
I think the Band-Aid people really should be in the event.
My little pony.
I just threw that into the Band-Aid answer. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right,
we're
I think
still
this is the first.
Something. All right, here we go.
Jennifer,
yeah, after
go ahead.
Rounds,
you
tied up, people. Two rounds.
It is tied.
Realize that after
up.
This round, we might never hear that again.
Yes. We might, though. We just might. All right, what's question number three? Give it to Robin, Jennifer.
Third round and final round. All right, Robin, you either know it or you don't. If your horse is shod with quarter clips all around, how many clips would your farrier have to draw for a new set of handmade shoes?
How many total?
Yep.
I have no idea even what the question was.
Eight?
Wait a second. You don't tell me.
My little pony.
That That is correct. The answer is 8. You are correct. Quarter clips all the way around. 2 per foot. 2 for 6, 8. She got it right. Oh, Glenn, the pressure is on, baby. The pressure's on.
Okay. I'm ready.
I wouldn't give you a math question, Glenn. I wouldn't do that.
Thank you, because I was going to say 2 because I was thinking of one shoe. I wasn't thinking of all 4 feet.
All the way around, she said. All the way around.
Yeah.
Are you
paying
attention, Glenn?
I'm going to pay attention to it. Yes, they are, actually, because I'm going to have to hear that incessant song forever.
All right. All
Jennifer,
right. Go.
Final question, Glenn. The pressure is on. You either know it or you don't. What is the most common type of driving bit used because of its many rein placement options?
The Liverpool?
Oh, actually, that is correct. I just wanted to,
I thought it was.
I wanted it to be wrong.
Gagasis, Lord of the Infield Best. Third Saturday.
That one was too easy.
That was too easy. That was way too easy. If Glenn knows about a bit, it was too easy.
I thought, well, that can't be that easy. She has to be tricking me somehow. So I was like, I almost said something else just because I thought she was tricking me.
See,
have a tiebreaker? Don't tell me it's about a frickin' horse movie or I'm screwed.
This might be about a horse movie. This is called Name the Movie. Name the Movie. Oh, I'm going to read clues. As soon as you know the answer, yell it out. The clues will be read in succession slowly so you can process. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Yes.
God, good. Ugh. Released in 1974, this film follows the adventures of former rodeo star Sonny Steele, played by Robert Redford. Reporter. What?
My little pony.
She went to Electric Horseman. That is correct.
You could have asked me all the questions, and I would have never gotten that one, Robin. So you were pretty safe. Congratulations.
My mom loves that movie, so we watched it all the time.
I
can't remember the name.
Honestly, say
Robin.
I've never.
Robin, this is for you. One more time.
My little pony.
Now, guess what is officially banned from the show? Gagasis. I love it. You know what, Glenn? Just to be a giver, just to be nice to you, because you did get wiped the floor with.
Hey, wait a minute. We went to a tiebreaker.
No, it's not how I remember it. She crushed you. And the thing is, I'm going to let you play Gagasis the week leading up to the Preakness, but that's it. Not when we start talking about the Kentucky Derby. Not when we are continuing to talk about the Belmont. Only the week of the Preakness. Is that fair?
That's fair. I'll keep it around just for that, just for all the guys out there who love torturing you with
it. You're going to keep it around anyway. You're going to keep it around anyway. You don't even care. This whole thing was crap. Well, the good news is Robin's charity.
It also means that Robin is not banished anymore from the show.
Woo-hoo! Yes, that is true. Yeah. That is true. So she's not banished from the show. And her, tell me the name of your charity one more time.
Blue Bonnet Equine Humane Society. Their website is bluebonnetequine.org.
And they are going to get some Redmond Rock, the perfect way to satisfy your horse's instinct for natural salt and minerals. And the good news is that some of the people are going to get some, too, because they always put some people salt in there, and it's very delicious. That's all we cook with anymore. So congratulations to you, Robin, and congratulations to your charity, and congratulations to our friends.
My little pony.
Love it.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Robin. You beat me fair and square.
Oh, that was nerve-wracking.
It is nerve-wracking. I know. I was like, wow, when you're playing, it's actually tougher. But apparently the toughest job of all is pressing the buttons. Jamie had a difficult time with it.
I'm telling you, with the questions on one page, the sound on another page, I didn't have the bell. I mean, it was. I just kept waiting for the bell. Ring the bell. It's right. Bring it. That's on your desk. It's not in the sound file. So, but that's fantastic, Glenn. Sorry you lost, but I'm not sorry you lost. And Robin, we will talk to you again very soon. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
See you, Robin.
All right.
Bye.
Woohoo!
I still hate her.
No, you don't. You love her. You love her and you love your little pony. Bronies Anonymous. That was great. Hey, I hear a baby screaming, so I'm going to wrap this up right now. You can talk amongst yourself, but I got
to
go.
No, I mean, I'm ready to wrap it up, too. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We have the United Mountain Horse people. Go ahead, Jamie. I'll finish up the show.
Okay.
We'll talk to you Friday.
Later to go.
All right. All right. We have the United Mountain Horse here tomorrow morning on the show in that the second Thursday of every month. We have them here, so look forward to that. Should be some fun had. And then Friday, of course, we'll be back with really bad ads. If you want to submit your ads, submit them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Jamie's back for Friday, so the whole team will be here doing really bad ads on Friday. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network. The Dressage Show has a show all about the World Equestrian Games with some of the competitors in the games. Adrian Lyle joined them. And then over on the Eventing Show, they did all about Burley and the WEG. And the Driving Show this week, we had Chester Weber on. That's out now. We did a fascinating interview, Jennifer, and I should have kept Robin on to talk about this. But, Robin, if you're listening, take a listen to the Driving Radio Show this week because Robin's a commercial driver. We had a lady on that does funerals, and she does horse-drawn, you know, the funeral carriage. And she's in England, and she said 10 years ago when she started doing funerals, she was doing 2 to 3 a week. Now she'll do up to a dozen a week. Apparently horse-drawn funerals, and you have to listen to the interview to hear what she says about the Gypsies' wild funerals. Because apparently the Gypsies will hire her to do funerals. You have to listen to that part. It's amazing what they do at funerals. But, so she's got a huge funeral business going over there and had to get a second hearse. There's actually a pink hearse now. She has a black, white, and pink because she said people wanted color at the funerals. Black is out. She said white
black
and
is
pink
out.
Is in. Yeah, so
pink is
they're
black.
Getting colorful. She has some amazing horses and some pictures of the horses on her website, and just some amazing stuff. I told her she's going to have to get a double-decker hearse now because she's getting so popular. You're going to do 2 funerals at once. I said the families would probably love that, especially if she has a Gypsy funeral and, like, a good conservative Catholic funeral at the same time. That'll go over well. But anyway, it's a lot of fun, and you'll find that at the Driving Radio Show. It's out now, so go take a listen. That's it for today. I have to find the closing music here somewhere. You know what? Jamie's gone, isn't she?
Jamie's gone.
Oh, that's the wrong one. I was looking for the closing music. Sorry about that, everybody. That was accidental. Here we go. What a day. See y'all.
You're telling me. Golly, I'm going to get you some Premier. Omega Alpha, Premier, it won't test. It'll be fine.